Hello, this is Evangelist Zachariah LaPanta, and I'm part of the Restored Government of God. Today, I'll be expounding on some connections between grace and truth and regeneration. Grace gives a heart to perceive Christ in His holy ordered knowledge, and as faith remains steadfast in reflection to rehearse His testimony, the Spirit rests on His record to form fruit. And God multiplies His grace to us as He rejoices in our obedience. He rejoices in us as we rejoice in Christ. This is God's law of reciprocation. God's law of reciprocation is this form of contact for increase. From the EVA Terms Glossary concerning Rejoice in the Lord. To continue to build on the things of Christ in which we take great delight. The priesthood is how we live the Christian life, both in offering prayers and sacrifices to God that are acceptable to Him. It's how we live by every word of God. We live by Christ and in Christ to exchange the knowledge with God for the increase of the substance within us. God is putting the treasures of Christ in your soul. As Jesus is the first fruits of the Father, you are the first fruits of the Spirit. And with each sacrifice you gather from His field of knowledge, Jesus is being brought to remembrance rather than sin. This is God's will in which we take great pleasure. End quote. The word pleasure stood out to me here. And the word pleasure speaks of enjoyment outside of need. This highlights how God's law of reciprocation is contact for increase, not born of lack, man's perceived offenses and issues, but God's efficiency. From Him to Him. Christ needs nothing less than Himself to bring faith to completion in each cycle of growth. Jesus is the face of that new law of the Spirit of life. He is the charity we reciprocate, so we keep His new covenant commandments by His ordered activities and refrain from the things of the law of Moses that chose sin and death as the starting point where the flesh stood naked of His virtue. Now, Christ brings faith to completion in His record. So grace gives a single mind, and we cease to overreach the terms of His peace. We daily enter into rest as we labor to partake of Him. Grace nourishes the heart with fruit and enlarges the heart with understanding, creating equity between the natures that feel and think by equity with God, by the terms of His peace. So, grace creates sober-mindedness, as Christ is the full measure of the Lord's pleasure that we resource and the terms of reconciliation with God, to which we are humbled daily through the impact of this ongoing experience. As we yield to grace under the persuasion of truth, God's pleasure changes our pleasure back to our original design. Charity plus truth equals regeneration. God changes our pleasure to suit Him as we assign our faith to that which suits Him, that which He elected in Christ. The word suit means to go well with someone's character and be agreeable to their purpose and plan. Truth is that's consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. We continue to pour faith into the mold of His truth because the anointing is life-giving as the Spirit gives witness to Christ in His record. Man's intellectual and emotional orientation that was developed in Satan's kingdom is to start from a place of lack and loss, to use contrast as building material for something that they imagine can glorify God. But Jesus is God's starting point for faith, not lack and loss. So death touched Jesus' flesh, it never entered into His faith. He lived by every word issued from the Father. He lived by grace. And even as He endured the death of the flesh, He was overcoming by obedience to that power of grace, which is life, not death. We prophesy Christ by prayer and reflection is the root of priesthood prophecy. This pattern of obedience to grace, Christ provided it Himself. He made living in the spiritual tools of His new covenant, which He offered to believers to abide in. This is His living body that He offered us. This is why faith did not begin with man offering his life, are offering God his life to Jesus, but in believing on his testimony, entering to life that he offers in his covenant. The believer who starts with rehearsing the contrast material, the knowledge of the world, the fruits of iniquity, rather than the powers of Jesus' life in his covenant tools, becomes darkened in their thoughts and unable to cease to labor with iniquity as their scale of reality. God calls this mind that does not retain or reflect and rehearse him. He calls it reprobate. Romans 1:28 brings this out. From the EVA Terms Glossary concerning the term reprobate. When we visit this believer's foundation, we see that his starting point for faith is the problems he faces in life. He refuses the light of Christ because he savors darkness, the light of his own aspiration, and is therefore lost to virtue or grace, end quote. So the false starting point of the reprobate mind is the problems man daily faces in the five C's of death. The way death touches the flesh provokes the natural mind to seek resolve, to either accept, change, escape, or remove, to wrestle with the perceived offense against the drive to achieve man's natural design. In this state, the aspiration is retained as the scale of reality, not grace and truth. Is the mind of the flesh, which is asleep to God, oblivious and unproductive to his kingdom. This is why God must daily issue grace to awaken the saints to reflect upon Christ, to resource his record, to reason with him. Man is vulnerable to lacking, to loss, and to follow that instinct, to find instinct in it. But true equity begins with true equity, not without. God shows us Christ in his knowledge and tools to join us to him, so we would cease to reach outside him for building material. Faith always begins with grace. Discernment always begins with truth. Growth always begins with praying in the Spirit. And we're always made perfect in Christ as he is expressed in prayer, preaching, and prophecy within the framework of his government, truth, and Spirit, where his gifts, callings, and manifold graces continue to sustain and reward our labor of faith. Our life is always in him, not without. From the IDCCST handbook, quote, we try to find out what is true by contrast. The mind is busy comparing one thing to another to set it apart, to learn about it. God calls this death because the ability to compare one thing to another develops false confidence that we could contrast light to darkness in the absence of the light of God's knowledge. The natural man is prone to use this false scale every day. End quote. The contrast of death is not overcome from its own perspective. From God's perspective, gained, maintained, and reciprocated, in which there is no death. Contrast, contradiction, contrariness, controversy, and conflict are not in him. There is only equity in the light of his truth, the synergy of the elements of the gospel, the person of Jesus Christ, what he says, and what he does. The Lord highlighted this in a recent dream. In the dream, I was in prayer in bed, and my wife was seated next to me, smiling. She pointed and said, there's a ministering spirit right there. I focus where she points. And after a moment, it appears as an invisible polyhedron. It's like a shape of connected stars of pure white light. And that's the end of the dream. The polyhedron was made up of triangles. And thinking about the triangle, I was reminded of another dream in which I observed three triangle star formations flying above me while falling in a convertible. And this reminds me of the liberty of following the wisdom of the Spirit and the nine tools of the covenant. See how grace gives a heart to perceive Christ in his covenant contact points. The shapes coming together in the form of this polyhedron, it reminded me of how all nine tools of covenant the 12 elements of the gospel and the 9 operations of grace work together to manifest Christ and the 9 fruits of the Spirit. The Lord directs our activity with his knowledge and tools to give distinction to Christ, and the Spirit gives substance to our faith for continued reciprocation. The wife smiling at the husband as he prayed in the Spirit reminded me of how grace creates equity between the natures that feel and think, the soul and the spirit, as the anointing brings us into harmony with God. Being in bed awake showed how we rest in Christ by our cognitive labor with the spiritual tokens of his grace. The wife pointing out the location of the ministering spirit before the husband could see it reminded me of how regeneration of the soul comes before the renewing of the mind, and how God's charity towards us, which is his grace, comes before truth, our choice to reflect on it. Grace uses truth to assist faith to observe Christ in the 9 operations of his grace. Faith that follows grace through grace is made complete in him by the unfolding of the Spirit. God uses the grace of the calling, which starts with living apostles, to set truth in the heart and resource truth with grace for growth that impacts the soul, like the wife, as the Spirit works regeneration. The form of the invisible shape of stars of pure white light reminded me of how the grace that holy angels carry, it gets the heart to perceive Christ in the synergy of his element. And the Spirit builds on these connections to make our joy full in him, like kind of like meat on the bones. The white light speaks of Christ being God's pure perspective. Though God is invisible to the eye of the flesh, we behold his face emerging daily by truth and charity, Christ in the heart and on the lips. Remaining focused on that point where the white pointed out for a time, before the connections became clear, reminded me how the impact of grace on the soul must be identified before the mind can be renewed. Truth identifies Christ as we rehearse his healing judgments to take the thoughts captive to his scale. The Holy Spirit rests on our co-labor with the anointing to give substance to our hope. And beholding the light of the knowledge of Christ, it sustains us. God's peace accompanies this grace to buffer us against the witness from beneath in the moment of Satan's provocation to assist our continuance, so we can remain laboring with the things that please God and refuse to reach for the things Satan offers as a shortcut to his false standard of equity through the window of the imagination. Again, we can see how faith overcomes projection with reflection by the power of the Spirit and his law, grace, and truth that keep us rooted in Christ. Sanctification plus holiness equals peace. See this, that peace is a body element, God, as we submit the mind and emotions to him on his terms by his tokens. The peace of the world is reliant on circumstances, but the peace of God accompanies the tokens of peace with God that do not change. So our confidence is not shaken, but grows through contact. From the EVA terms glossary, the peace of God is that which God works within the soul as we accept the law of grace and truth to govern and rule over our mind in place of the law of our aspiration, principle, and imagination. The Spirit uses all the things of Christ to bind us to God, and God reciprocates. He provides a buffer called peace to assist us through the transition from darkness to light, as our confidence in God replaces our confidence in the flesh. All 9 fruits of the Spirit manifest the virtue of Christ by the work of the Spirit. End quote. Now, study and scale questions equip us to see our peace with God in Christ through those distinctions. The mind is renewed as retain him. See how Jesus reconciles us to the gospel. In covenant, believers need no longer busy themselves with vain attempts to their self-use, as grace gives a heart to receive Christ in his truth. So, faith can reflect him, who is the true face of the conscience. Regeneration is the mystery of the gospel. The anointed offends and charity expresses. Christ brings faith to perfection in his record, so faith lacks nothing.
Okay.
That is my exhortation. Thank you.